for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday afternoon, December the 26th, 1992. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campground, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Anyway, this afternoon, here with the men, we got involved in talking about curses, and we talked about the curses over in the 27th chapter of Deuteronomy, and we went back, we kind of started I'm just telling you where we were this afternoon. We kind of started a little bit with the 18th chapter of Leviticus, just referred to it, and we went through the 20th chapter of Leviticus a little bit, and then we came over to the 27th chapter of Deuteronomy, where the Lord talks about we're cursed if we do this and we're cursed if you do that. Now, as I said this afternoon, I never understood any of this until just the last few years. Born and raised in Pentecost, but nobody ever taught that we were cursed if we disobeyed the word of the Lord. In fact, I was taught that when I got saved, I don't know how much I was actually taught, at least it was implied, and I thought that when I got saved, all of the curses disappeared. And I thought that for all my life up till about 10 or 12 years ago. Even after we've been working and moving and with deliverance ministries and in the deliverance area for many years, I still had no understanding about curses. I thought that they were all gone. But an incident happened which changed my mind and showed me that I was wrong, and that my teaching that when I got saved all the curses disappeared was not true. I'll not go into that because it happened right here in this building, right in this room. The incident happened that changed my understanding of the Scripture. I thought that it said in the Scripture that Jesus became a curse for me, and therefore all my curses were gone, and I didn't have to worry about any more curses. I found out that that was not true, and that we are all bound and under curses of one type or another unless they're broken and we're set free from it. We're bound by curses that we have gotten ourselves under. We're bound by curses that we have inherited. We have probably inherited many more curses in our bloodline than we have gotten under of our own doing. We've gotten under enough of our own doing, but we have inherited many, many, many curses in our bloodline. We've inherited, I'll just try to think of a few here. The curse of alcohol can come down the bloodline. Your father was an alcoholic, your grandfather was, so they say, well, his grandfather was an alcoholic, so he's an alcoholic. That's inherited bloodline curse. They say, your granddad, he had a bad temper, so you're just a chip off the old block. That's where your bad temper comes from. It's inherited bloodline curse that we've inherited in our family line. Scripture tells us that if we look at it in the right vein, that these things can be broken from off of us and set free. But we have to have a right understanding and rightly divide the word so that we have that authority to break these curses off of us. And we dealt this afternoon with the men. We dealt in the area of the 20th chapter of Leviticus and the 27th chapter of Deuteronomy, and all the most of them are in the sexual realm of curses and the realm of the bastard. The basis, after this came to our understanding, I began to look to find the basis for it. There is a scripture where God says, if you do these things, visited a third and a fourth generation. Then I began to have a study of another, and I began to think, well, where does the curse of the sexual sins come from? So then I found out where it talks about Lot. It talks about the bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the righteous for 10 generations, and it says, and the Moabite and the Ammonite shall not enter in. So I thought, well, who are they? So that they can't enter in for 10 generations. But then I began to study and look, and I found out who they were. Who knows who you all know who the Ammonite and the Moabites are? Lot's children by incest. And so incest carries a 10-generation curse. Lot's children are the Ammonites and the Moabites, and their incest relation, and they're cursed for 10 generations. And that curse still stands today until it's broken. Well, how do we break it? Well, we'll get to that. But anyway, that's what we dealt with this afternoon. So since I got started on that and dealt on it, I asked her, and she said, well, why don't you just go on with, because there's more than that. There were other things that we're bound by. So we'll start over with the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy. And as we go along, well, I'll probably get back to some of these other things here. But we'll start with the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy and the 15th verse. Well, before we do that, we've all heard the song over in Tulsa. I got two of them, David Engel. I got two of his tapes laying over here. The song he sings that Abraham's blessings are mine. Well, that's true. The scripture says, I'm going to read it to you, that Abraham's blessings are ours. But there's a whole lot more that says that we're cursed than there says about the blessing. And you can't have the blessing if you're cursed. So we want Abraham's blessings. I want Abraham's blessings. We all want Abraham's blessings. But in order to have Abraham's blessings, we have to be set free from the curses that we're bound by so we can have Abraham's blessings. It's wonderful. That song is a wonderful song. We've got to back up a little bit and get free from the bondage of curses that we have inherited or that we have gotten under our own selves so that Abraham's blessings can truly be ours. You know, it's one thing to sing about it, but it's another thing to have Abraham's blessings. We want to have, I want to have, Abraham's blessings. So in verse 3 of chapter 28, or, well, verse 2. Well, we better go back to verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, and this 27th chapter back here that we have just read is part of what he has commanded. In fact, verse 10 over here in 27 says, thou shalt therefore obey the voice of the Lord thy God, and do his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day. And today, right now, the Lord is commanding us to do these things. Today is the day he's talking about. So we read on back over in 28 now. That was verse 10 I read in 27. It says, to hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come unto thee and overtake you. If you've got Abraham's blessings, you don't have to pray for Abraham's blessings. Abraham's blessings will be yours. They will overtake you. If you obey the word of the Lord and follow the word of the Lord, Abraham's blessings will, and they are, mine. Abraham's blessings are mine if I obey the word of the Lord. I don't have to look for them. I don't have to. They will chase me. They will chase you. They will find you. They will overtake you. Just as the curses will overtake you. It says, this day that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come unto thee and overtake you if you will diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kind, and the flocks and of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shall thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shall thou be when thou goest out. So the Lord says that if we obey his word, we will be blessed. We'll be blessed when we come in, we'll be blessed when we go out. But he also says that we'll be cursed. So now, there's all kinds of scriptures about being cursed. But the Lord says that none of these things will come upon us if we obey his word and follow his word. So now let's see what he says in the area we're going to look at this afternoon. Go down to verse 15 of the 28th chapter. It says, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command you this day, not to the right hand or to the left, that you go after other gods to serve them. But it shall come to pass, if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Well, there are those that teach that when Jesus died on the cross, he did away with all of these things. Well, what Jesus did away with on the cross was all the sacrifices and all those things that related to the blood sacrifices that he fulfilled on the cross. He did away with all of that because he became the fulfillment of all of the sacrifices that looked forward to the time when Jesus would become our sacrifice. And he came and fulfilled them. But he did not do away with the rest of the commandments of the Lord. They still stand today just as they did when Jesus walked the earth and just as they did when the day that God said, Moses, you tell the people of Israel, this is my word, do it. He didn't ask us if we wanted to do it. He didn't ask us if we would like to do it. He just said, do it. And that comes to my mind. Let me see if I can find it real quick here, where he, in one of these verses, where he said, do it. Standing, I've just turned past it here. And in the third chapter of Leviticus, and in the 17th chapter of Leviticus, it says, it shall be a perpetual statute. I mentioned this afternoon. For your generations. A perpetual statute is what? That's without end, forever. In all your generations, throughout all your dwellings, that you eat neither fat nor blood. Perpetual, forever. That you don't eat fat or blood. But there are people, all the world has rebelled against the eating of fat. And so today we've got heart trouble and high cholesterol and 7-part heart bypasses and all these things because we disobeyed the word of the Lord and not kept the word of the Lord. And now we're suffering for it, and the Lord is requiring, for we have heart trouble and all of that. But he says, you shall not eat blood. And there are nations, especially European nations, Scandinavian, and down in Italy and all, blood sausage and blood pudding and blood soup. And they say, that's good for us. Blood soup gives me quick energy. There's nothing wrong with it. They say, well, that's Old Testament. I don't have to obey that anymore. Well, I can't find any such thing as Old Testament. I find the book. And there is no New Testament until you come to the second chapter of Acts. You know that? There's no New Testament until you come to the second chapter of Acts. Because everything that Jesus did up until the resurrection was Old Testament. There was no New Testament, as we call it such, until 50, 60, 70 years after Jesus was crucified and resurrected and went to heaven. So if you want to get technical about it, you have to start in Acts to have New Testament. It's one book. It is the book. It isn't two books. I was looking over here to see where that verse was. Here it is. It's in the 20th chapter of Leviticus. You don't need to turn there because I'm going to turn right back to where we are in Deuteronomy. But it says in the 20th chapter of Leviticus, in verse 7, it says, sanctify yourselves therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God, and you shall keep my statutes and do them. It doesn't say, would you like to do it? Do you want to do it? It'll be okay if you do it or don't do it. It says, you shall keep my statutes and do them. And what we're reading today and what we're studying is the statutes that God has laid down for us to follow after so that we can live according to his word and have health in all of our flesh. and have prosperity. And it goes on to say, for I am the Lord which sanctifieth you. And that same phrase that says to be holy, you can find it in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48. You can find it in Deuteronomy 4 and 2. You can find it in 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16, where the Lord says, be ye holy. So, I mark out all these references. My Bible doesn't have the reference, so I have to write them out here on the side where they refer to. So let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 28. And we were reading verse 15 when I got sidetracked with all this other. Verse 15, and it says, for he says that we are to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day. And when we read the word, to the day you read the word, the day you hear the word, that is the day that he's talking to you about. He's not talking to you about the day back 2,000 years ago. The word is a living word, and when you read it, it applies to you today as you read it. It's not yesterday, it's today. And so this applies to us now, today. Which I command you this day, and all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. He's saying, if you don't obey my word and my statutes, these curses will come upon you. So we will continue here with curses. You can go back and read Deuteronomy or chapter 27 to fill in on some others. But it says, cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store, or your food. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, the fruit of the land, and the increase of thy kine and thy flocks and thy sheep. So they'll be cursed if you don't obey and keep the commandments of the Lord. Cursed shalt thou be when you go out, and cursed shall you be when you come in. Or when you come in and when you go out. I read it backwards in my translation. Some of these verses I almost know by heart, and I get carried away and not actually watch what I'm reading, and sometimes I read them backwards or say them backwards. The Lord shall send upon thee. Now here, I had Dr. No, last spring, one time, write out for me all the things that is said here that will happen to us, these sicknesses. And Dr. No wrote 50-some, he had listed down 50-some diseases that are listed here that will come upon us by disobeying the word of the Lord. Now, I understand in the medical terms that there are 37 or 38 base diseases in the world, and all other things come out of those. They are derivative. 39 it is. Okay, 39. And all other diseases are derivatives of, is that the right word? Derivatives of these diseases. But there are 50-some items listed here, right here, that Dr. Null wrote out for me one time. And it goes on to say, cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. And the Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, rebuke, in all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings whereby thou hast forsaken me. Now that's enough right there if we didn't go any farther. If we just stopped right there, that's enough to take care of us for all of our life. But it doesn't stop there. It says, the Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee until it's consumed thee from off the land where you go to possess it. The Lord will smite thee with consumption, TB. He'll smite thee with fever. You can take these and name them. And with inflammation, with extreme burning, with the sword and with blasting, with mildew. They will pursue thee until thou perish. And the heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. Now, and the Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust from heaven until it shall come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. Now, some of us who are old enough to remember, we remember the days of the Dust Bowl, when there was no rain, and when the land of Oklahoma and Texas got delivered over into Illinois and Indiana, and clear up into Wisconsin. I remember those days when Mother used to shut all the doors and windows to keep the dust out, and it came in anyway. We lived in Illinois, and it came clear from Kansas and Oklahoma and Texas, and filled our house with dust. There was no rain in the sky. It was dust. And I have lived to see part of it. And it may happen again. And in other parts of the earth, it has happened and is happening today. They have no rain in parts of Africa. They have no rain in parts of other parts of the earth. There's no rain. And crops are perishing. They can't raise anything because the curse is on the land. Okay. And so, verse 25. And the Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. That happened over in Korea, Vietnam. That happened to us just recently. And shall be removed unto all the kingdoms of the earth. And thy carcass shall be meat unto all the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the earth, and no man shall fray them away. And the Lord shall smite thee with the moths of Egypt, and with emrods, that is the hemorrhoids, emrods, and with the scab, and with the itch, wherefore thou canst not be healed. And the Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. And you shall grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness. And thou shalt not prosper, poverty, in thy ways. And thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. And then it goes on and on. But that's far enough for now in that. Let's go over to look in Malachi. Malachi, Matthew, easy way to find Malachi is go to Matthew, back up three pages from chapter 1, and you got Malachi. Back up whatever your Bible's got, two or three pages, and you got Malachi. That's an easy one to find. There's a few others that's only a chapter long, and they're a little harder to find, but Malachi is easy. And in Malachi, we find that there are some more curses here that God says comes upon the people. And I'm afraid that most of us have had or do have some of these curses in our family. Now, first one is in chapter 1 and verse 14, and it says, cursed be the deceiver, which has in his flock a male and vileth and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. There's a correct translation there of the word heathen. Every place through your Bible that you find the word Gentile, that is a mistranslation, and it is not a correct word in the original. The word Gentile does not appear in the original language. But the heathens, is a correct translation, or nation and nations. Heathen, heathens, nation or nations. And this is a correct translation. This is exactly the same word used here that is used in most other places in the Bible where the word Gentile appears. This word right here that's used in the original. So the Lord says here that if you make the Lord a vow and don't keep it, you're cursed. Now back in the time when this was done, and it used to be when I was a kid sometimes they did, they put a area of land that they gave to the Lord, and whatever came off of that land was the tithe, or they took certain cattle out of the flock, and that was the tithe to the Lord. So the Lord, and that's what this is referring to in that respect. However, we can make vows to the Lord in other areas of our life, and if we don't keep them, we better go ask the Lord to forgive us for it, because we're bound to keep the vow. You are bound by that vow until the Lord releases you, if you make it. The Lord didn't ask you to make it. Therefore, you read further, you'll find where you make vows, you're bound by them. But here it says that if we make a vow and we don't keep it, we're cursed. You're cursed. So we need to keep the vows we make, or go back and repent of our vow and ask the Lord to forgive us so that we'll not be under a curse because of it. And then it goes down in chapter 2 and it says, and now, O you priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you'll not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you. Who's going to send the curse? God is. God says, I will send the curse. And that's the same back in the other curses. God said that he is sending them. He's telling Moses, you tell the children of Israel, Moses, that I said I will curse you. And here through Malachi, he is saying that. And now he says, and now, O you priests, this commandment is for you. If you'll not hear and if you'll not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. So we want Abraham's blessings? Well, then, we need to give glory to the Lord. He said, I'll curse your blessings. Yea, I've cursed them already because you don't lay it to heart. As we understand the scripture today, every head of every household is the priest of the household. The male is the priest of the house. And if we don't give God the glory, our household is cursed. We need, as the head of the house, as the man of the house, we need to see that our family gives glory unto God for all that he has given to us, for our finances, for our health, for and praise unto the Lord Jesus. That is the responsibility. Today, the head of the house is the man of the house, who is the priest of the house. Now, if it happens to be a household where the man isn't there or he's died, then it falls the responsibility of the woman to do that. She is then the priest of that house. As long as there is a man in that house, he is the priest of the house, and it's his responsibility that there be praise given unto the Lord, so that we will be blessed and not cursed. Now, we go over here to the third chapter of Malachi, and we find again that the Lord says here that we're cursed. He says in verse 8, it says, will a man rob God? He said, yet you've robbed me. God, he asked a question. Will you rob me? He turns around and says, yes, you have robbed me. How? For you, then they asked the question back. Wherein have we robbed thee? And then the Lord answers again. He says, in your tithes and your offerings. You have not been faithful with your tithes and offerings. You've robbed me. And then he goes on to say, he says, you're cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me. Even this whole nation has robbed me. Now, I know that America has given more money for the gospel than any other nation on the face of the earth. But yet, beside all of that, this nation has robbed God of God's money. Because those who claim to be of the household of faith have not been faithful with their tithes. Not been faithful. There's a little thing that we need to remember. We spend more money on chewing gum than is given to all the offerings of missions in all the world. We spend more money for chewing gum than is given for missions for all the world. Yet America gives more money for missions than any other nation on the face of the earth, yet chewing gum gets more money than missionaries do. You know, that's awesome when you really think of it. We spend many times more money on dog and cats than we do on missions. We spend more money for dogs and cats than comes in for tithes in the churches. Think about that. I forget how much it's like $2 billion or $3 billion a year. Something that's, I forget, I had it, that is spent on dog and cat care. And it far exceeds the total amount of money that comes in to the churches for the work of the Lord. This nation has robbed God. We've robbed God. And we're cursed because of it. Well, we don't want to stay that way, do we? Not at all. Not at all. Let's go back to over in Jeremiah chapter 45. And there are many places where the Lord says that we're cursed for different things. We got a little book back there that Brother Steve Bell put together called Breaking Free that lists 70-some curses that he has found in the Bible and that we have looked up and found. In the Bible, 70-some curses that are listed. And I won't guarantee you that there isn't one or two or more that might have gotten missed in putting that together. We just say that that's those that we know about and that he put together there. But, it's 48, I'm sorry, Jeremiah 48, turn the page over. And verse 10 here, God says to Jeremiah, he said, cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully, and cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood, the coward. Do the work of the Lord deceitfully, take up money and say it's for one thing, and do something else with it. or take out money and then go to Hawaii and spend it all over there on a good time. I know cases. I can tell you where that's happened. I know where. I'm not just talking about all these things. That's deceitful. Those people are cursed because they've taken money from God's people for something, and then they knew when they took it. It was deceitful. They knew they lied when they took it, and they did something else with it. See, God's judgment is coming in the land against all these things. It's coming. He's revealing it. It's coming up. It's coming, and people are coming to the understanding of it. God is revealing it, and God's curse is coming on these people for doing these things deceitfully. And we've seen some of it, but in the days to come, we're going to see a whole lot more of it unless there's some Holy Ghost repentance. Unless there's some Holy Ghost repentance, God's going to bring judgment on these people who have done these things. So if we do things deceitfully, we're cursed, and if we're a coward, we're cursed. Now there's some things that we get up here and talk about that just we kind of think maybe we ought to be a little cowardly about it and keep our mouth shut to keep out of trouble. But we can't really do that when we know the word of the Lord saith, thus saith the word of the Lord, and we don't have rightly divided and appropriated, then we're responsible too. Whoever stands here with the word of the Lord, if they don't rightly divide it, you're cursed. And we can do it ignorantly and not understand it, as in years past, many of the things that we have come to understanding of over the years, we didn't know about until you know, we come to an understanding of it. That's different. But when I understand something, and then I don't do what I should do or stand up to what I understand, then I'm responsible. And when you understand and you don't do, then you're responsible. You see. And people who come here to camp meetings here at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, some of you go away with here for a lot of responsibility that you didn't have when you walked in the door. And you're accountable before God for it. So it's serious. It isn't something to take lightly. It's very, very serious. Well, let's go back to Deuteronomy 28. Let's go back to Deuteronomy 28. And in Deuteronomy 28, I want you to turn over to verse 45. Verse 45 of Deuteronomy says, "Moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and shall pursue you and overtake you till you be destroyed, because you have not hearkened unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded thee." Now, we have been reading some of the commandments and the statutes of the Lord which he has commanded us this afternoon. And therefore, from now on, you are responsible to keep and obey them in whatever way they relate to your life. You cannot never say again that you haven't heard, because you have heard today, and you are now responsible. Verse 46 says, "And they shall be upon thee for a sign and a wonder, and upon thy seed forever, unless the curse is broken, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things." We are to rejoice in the Lord for what he's done for us, what he does for us, and rejoice in the abundance of that which the Lord gives unto us. "Therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, and in want of all things." Now there is poverty. There is poverty. "And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck and shall until he have destroyed thee." And we don't want that to happen. I don't want that to happen to me. I want to walk in the word of the Lord so that I'll have his blessing and not his curse. That is really poverty there. And that brings to mind something that happened in Dr. Derek Prince's family. If any of you know who Derek Prince is or have heard of him, or if you've read any of the books or his book that we have over here, Blessing and Curse, he had something that happened in his family a few years ago. His son-in-law was dying of cancer. His son-in-law was an engineer, a computer electronics engineer, and he made very, very good money. But they had absolutely nothing. They lived in poverty. His wife and children lived in poverty. And Brother Prince really couldn't quite understand the problem. But this man was dying of cancer, and just a few days before he died, called for Brother Prince to come. And when he came in, he wanted to talk. Well, he'd been going to visit him, but something happened, and he wanted him to come. So he went to the hospital to visit, to see what he wanted him for. And when he came in, he said to him, "Get that old man out of this room." And Brother Prince asked him, he said, "What do you mean, get that old man out of this room? What do you mean?" He said, "The old man that's standing at the foot of my bed dressed in those rags, get him out of this room." Immediately, Brother Prince understood. He knew the problem. The demon of poverty, the familiar spirit of poverty of the family line was with that man. And Brother Prince realized that his father had had this problem, and now this man had this problem. He made good money, but they lived in poverty. Why? Because they had not been faithful in the family line, whatever it was, of paying their tithes, giving God the glory. It related back to this area of their life in the family. And it was such that this spirit of familiar spirit of poverty was following this family line. And that is true in many families. And so he described this, and he said he's a little old man, and he's dressed in rags. And Brother Prince, he said, "Get him out of here." So Brother Prince immediately knew, and he took authority over this spirit. And Brother Prince said that the spirit of poverty left, and the man, his son-in-law, said, "He's going." He went out the door. He's gone. Well, the man died. But the spirit of poverty was broken over that family line. Now, here's a wife left with two children. She had to get a job and go to work. The Lord supplied her a job, fair job. She went to work, and he's testified that this woman, I don't know if she's remarried or what now, but anyway, several years after this happened, Brother Prince testified that this woman had more with less than they had with much. Poverty was gone. She was faithful with her finances. She was faithful with what she had, and she had more with little than they had with much. Doesn't the scripture tell us that? Doesn't it say, "Little shall be much"? And she was an example of it, and a testimony of it. So, the spirit of poverty, the familiar spirit that follows the family line in areas, it is a truth that if some people don't want to believe it. "Oh, I don't believe that stuff." Well, that's okay. But when you got the proof of the pudding, you better pay attention. Everybody's testimony can't be wrong, you know. There's too many testimonies today to testify that God is setting the people free. He's setting the captives free. And we've all been captives in certain areas of our life, and still are in some areas of our life. We're captives. Well, let's see. Yes, I finished up. Let's go back. Hold your finger here. We're coming back. Let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 11. But don't lose your place there, so you won't have to hunt for it. But over in Jeremiah chapter 11, and I could look up many more, but I didn't take time. You can hunt them up, or get that little book back there that lists the curses, and go down through them and pray and break every one of them off of your family line. But verse 3 of chapter 11 says, and it says, "And say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Cursed be the man that obeyeth not the words of this covenant, which I commanded your fathers in the day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, the place of sin, from the iron furnace, saying, Obey my voice and do them, according to all which I command you, so shall you be my people, and I will be your God." So here Jeremiah is reaffirming that what we were reading in Deuteronomy, when God gave these commandments to Moses when they came out of Egypt, the land of sin, that Jeremiah is saying that God requires that you keep them or else you'll be cursed. Well, turn back to Deuteronomy 28. Verse 58 of Deuteronomy 28 says, if thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name of the Lord thy God, then the Lord will make thy plagues many and great and wonderful. King James says wonderful. You've got some other translations. Some of them will say many and great. And the plagues of thy seed, there's your inherited a curse coming down the family line, your seed, even great plague, and of long continuance and sore sickness. And then what does it say again? And again it says, and long continuance. So he's reiterating that it will continue, that it won't just be a little while and quit. Says, pay attention to what I'm telling you so that you won't have these plagues in your life and that they won't continue through the generations. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt which you were afraid of. Also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law. And I tell you, we've got some of them in the land today that are not written in here. We've got AIDS, a plague in the land. I don't care what they say. God says that if you're a homosexual, you're cursed. God said it. So the homosexuals are cursed. Lesbians are cursed. God says it. God says if we offer to the God of Moloch, we're cursed. What was the God of Moloch? The firstborn of every family was offered on sacrifice in the fire to Moloch. Abortion. Cursed. God says that the nation is cursed. God says that innocent blood has to be accounted for. He says he'll not allow innocent blood to be shed without it being judged and avenged. He says it has to be avenged. This nation is cursed. This nation is cursed. This nation is cursed. The homosexual is cursed. The lesbian is cursed. Every person who advises somebody for abortion is cursed. The person who rents the building that they have the abortion clinics in, that person is cursed. Every person associated in any way with abortion is cursed. A nation that's cursed because we have rebelled against God. We know more than God does. We're cursed. And anybody who's been associated in any way with abortion, you need to repent and ask God to forgive you and ask him to lift the curse off of you. Because you're cursed. So he says, every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, them the Lord will bring upon you until you be destroyed. So the Lord says that he'll bring curses until the nation is destroyed. Now, this nation may not be destroyed by war, but it'll be destroyed by other ways. I think this nation, when Colonel Speed Wilson gets here, we'll see what he's got to say about it. But I think that this nation basically will be destroyed through the collapse of the financial system. Be one way. The other way, destroyed by the curses that come upon us because of AIDS and cancer and other afflictions that we seem to have no cure for. Because it's a curse that God has sent on the nation. We don't like to admit that. And you go and say something to a homosexual that it's a curse, and they say, you're judging me. No, I am not judging them. God said. And God says if you don't take care of your family, you're worse than an infidel. God said it. And it's my responsibility to stand here and to say it, tell that to you, that God said it. I'm not judging you. I'm telling you God said it. Therefore, it's my responsibility to say that to you. And you can do what you want with it. My responsibility is ended. You now are responsible. And it's your responsibility. If a case of abortion arises, it's your responsibility to stand against it. You know better now. You know that God says we're cursed. Homosexuals, you cannot agree with them that it is an altered lifestyle. God says you're cursed. It is not an alternate lifestyle. It's a sex that's rampant in the nation. God says that it's a curse. God says you're cursed for adultery. God says you're cursed for fornication. God says you're cursed. And if you partake in it, you automatically are cursed. And it's not a judgment, it's a fact. And the only way you come out from under it is repent. You must repent. And if you repent, Jesus said that he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And that is sin. Those are sins. We've got to repent of them. We've got to come and say, Lord, forgive me. I did participate in that. I did do that. I'm sorry for it. Forgive me. Forgive me. Wash me afresh in the blood. Cleanse me in the blood of the Lord Jesus. He said that his blood is shed, that he washes whiter than snow. He said that if there's a fountain filled with blood that we sing, that if we plunge beneath that blood, he'll cleanse us of all our guilty stains. The blood of Jesus is the cleansing that washes us and cleanses us from these sins that we've gotten ourselves into of our own doing. Now, we're cursed because of the doings of our ancestors. Let's look at that for a bit and see how we come out from underneath of that. We come out from underneath our own sins by asking for repenting and repenting of them. Then asking the Lord to lift the curse off of us and to break the and to forgive us because Jesus became our curse. But now let's look at the curses that we come under because our ancestors have sinned and it's come down the family line. Four generations, 10 generations, 30 generations, 40 generations. Hallelujah, Dr. Null has arrived. Praise the Lord. Thank you for a good trip for him, Father, and taking care of him on the road. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. The Lord says that we're cursed to 10 generations in certain areas and 4 generations. But then there's the problem of the repetitiveness of it, the reproduction of it. Satan has a right to follow the family line for 10 generations in the case of sexual sins. He has a right because your God has said you're cursed and you've sinned. The person has sinned, and it gives Satan a right in sexual sins for 10 generations to follow the family line. And if Satan can get that reproduced again before the 10 generations runs out, it almost becomes perpetual. And I'm of the opinion that the sexual sins are almost a perpetual thing that may go back 40, 50, 100 generations in our family line. Other sins go back whatever to where they started. So these things aren't something that just happened yesterday. They may have happened 300, 400, 500 years ago, the original sin of it. Well, if it's coming down the family line and it's following me, how do I get free from it? I thought when I got saved, all the curses were gone. I thought that. Some of you have thought that. Maybe all of you have never heard any thought about this before, have thought this. But it isn't so. Now, God is sovereign. And I know people who were drunkards. I know people who were drug addicts. I know people who were womanizers, that when they got saved, God delivered them and set them free from tobacco and drugs. God set them free instantly when they got saved. God's sovereign. The curses are gone. They're broken. And I know other people who got saved and have had to fight tobacco forever. Until God really delivered them of it. I know other people who have been alcoholics and gotten saved, and they still were alcoholics until they got delivered of it. You see, I can't explain that to you. All I know that it's a fact. And that's all I got to live with is the fact. So what do we do with those who still have these problems? We have to come and break the curse that has come down the family line or that they've gotten under themselves. How does that take place if it didn't happen automatically? Well, we can see that it didn't happen automatically because we know people who are still bothered in these areas that shouldn't be. See? We say they are. So, what is the answer to it? The answer to it, this is how the Lord showed me when I come to this understanding. I explained to the fellows here this afternoon, but I'll do it again. This is how the Lord showed me, and it happened right here in this building. Since we've been here about 10 or 12 years ago. And we had a service and somebody asked to be prayed for to break a curse over them. And I said, okay, if they said the Lord told them to ask me to pray for them. So I said, okay, I will. So I prayed for them, break the curse off of them. The curse was from eating of blood and sugar diabetes. That was the curse. But I didn't know what I was doing. Scripture. But I did it because they said the Lord Lord told them to tell me to do it, so I did. Then I had to straighten out my theology, because you see, up till that time, my theology had been that all the curses were gone when you got saved. And now what am I? I was then about 60 years old, somewhere around 60, and I lived all my life with that understanding. So I come now to find out the difference. So the Lord led me back to John 3:16. We went through this afternoon. But let's just turn over there and look at it so you will see it for yourself. We can quote it. We can quote John 3:16. Everybody that's a Christian almost knows John 3:16. But let's look at that and see what that's got to do with curses. Or what it had to do with the Lord showing me, giving me an understanding about curses. It says, well, let's read the verse before since we're looking at it. It says that whosoever believeth on him, the Lord Jesus, should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, there's a comma there, but we can put a period there and stop. So if we stop right there, God loved all the world so all the world could be saved. So if we stop there, then all the world should be saved. Right? That's what it says. If we put a period there and we stop there. See, the problem is we've got to finish the verse. Now, that's another problem that we have a lot of places. People take a piece of a verse and try to make it fit what they are doing or want to do, and they can take a piece of a verse and make it work, but they don't take the rest of the verse and put it in there and rightly divide the word. You must rightly divide the word. So we've got to finish the verse. And when we finish the verse, it completely changes the first part of the verse. See, if we stop there, the whole world's going to be saved. But we finish the verse, it says that whosoever believeth in or on the Lord Jesus, that they should not perish, but have everlasting life. So that verse has to be completed, and you have to fill it out that God not only gave his Son so that the world could be saved, but the world must believe in and on the Lord Jesus to have salvation. Okay, what's that got to do with the curses? Let's go over and look at the scripture that has always been used, that the curses are all gone. Where is it? Galatians 3:13 is the verse that has always been used, that all the curses are gone, and I'm not under any curse. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Fine. But it goes on to say, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So Jesus became our curse. But we must apply and appropriate that fact to the curses of our life so that they can be broken, so that we can come out from underneath the bondage that we're in to the curses that we've gotten under ourselves or that we have inherited. It's very easy to see that we inherit curses, as I was talking about. People are alcoholics. They say, well, his grandfather was, or his father was, or he was. They say she's like her grandmother to a daughter or to her son. He's a chip off the old block. They're under a curse in the family line. A familiar spirit is coming down the family line, just as Derek Prince found when his son-in-law called him in to pray for the spirit that this boy could see standing at the foot of his bed. The same thing is true. And sometimes the Lord shows us and we can see the spirits, but most of the time we can't. All we see is the results of that. The results that is in our life or in our children's life or in our parents' lives. We see the results of these demon spirits that are driving and controlling them. Of drugs and alcohol or lust or anger and rage or divorce or other things that Satan causes to in our lives to bring distress and to bring disharmony in the household of faith and in our families. So, we come in the name of Jesus and and by the blood of Jesus for the remission of our sins. Then we come in the authority that it is written that Jesus became my curse so that I don't have to bear the curse. So the curse can be broken from off of my life. Now, we will pray this afternoon and come against some of these curses. But as the Lord shows you, you can do it. You can do exactly the same as I am doing here this afternoon. You have just as much right and authority to take the Word of God and appropriate and apply it as I do, in behalf of your individual life and of your family. The Word of God is not given to anybody secretly or privately, but it's given to all of us as a gift unto us. It is given to everyone and to whosoever will. So you have the same authority to take and apply and appropriate the Word of God in your life as anybody else does. And as the Lord shows you things in your life, just repent of them. Or if it's something that's come down the family line that you see, take authority over it, as we're going to do here right now. Okay? You know, you come here. You come here. Most of you come because you want some help. That's good. That's fine. But you also come here to learn. You come here to be taught what the Lord has showed the ministries who come. We don't come here to claim that we're the minister to minister all of this. We come here to believe that God has given to us, to each one of us who minister here, something that we can give unto you, that you can take. No way any few people who are working in the deliverance ministry and in the ministry of the kingdom can bring the message to the world. There has to be an army arise in the land, full of the power of the living God, to move across the nations of the earth, declaring that Jesus Christ is Lord, and in Him there is deliverance and healing and restoration. It's in Jesus, and He's looking for an army that He expects to rise in our hearts, to rise up, to carry on, and to do that which He is requiring for this end time age. Awesome. Awesome is the responsibility that's on those who stand in the house of the Lord today. It's an awesome responsibility to carry forth the word of the Lord. For we've come down to the hour of the kingdom. And what's done must be done quickly. But we have to stand in the power and the authority of the name of the Lord Jesus. For Jesus Christ is Lord. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. And in Him we have our being, and we move and have in Jesus. There is no other name under heaven whereby men will be saved, delivered, or healed, or resurrected, except the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is God Almighty. And to Him be glory and honor, glory and dominion forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And Jesus is His name. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Father, help us to get the other gods out of our lives. The other gods that take the place of Jesus. Help us to get them out of our lives. That You can use us for Your glory. Hallelujah. Praise You, Jesus. Well, now, I'm not going to be able to take up all the curses. We're going to take some of them. Then the days that lie ahead of you, you work on them. You work on them, work on them, and work on them, so that we can come to that place of holiness. For God said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And we come to that place and we apply and appropriate the blood of the Lord Jesus to our lives and get ourselves cleaned up from these areas that we've inherited, that we've gotten ourselves in, that we've messed in into the occult, and into other areas have brought a curse on our lives. As the Lord shows us these areas of our lives, that we work on them and get out from under them so that we can walk before the Lord in righteousness and holiness and making Jesus truly Lord of our lives. We have to do it individually and then also corporately. We are corporately as the body of Christ, as the army of the Lord, the body of Christ. We are corporately, but we are individually also the temple of the living God. I am the temple of the Lord. You are the temple of the Lord. And to imagine that He who calls Himself King of Kings and Lord of Lords can come and dwell in you and me. That we cannot understand. All we can do is accept it
and be thankful for the fact that Jesus has agreed to come and dwell in this temple of Christ, that we may become sons and daughters of the living God. I cannot explain that. I cannot comprehend it. I just know that I feel within my soul that it's a fact and a truth that Jesus dwells within these temples of Christ. He does it because we invite him to. He does not come uninvited. He comes because we ask him to come and make him Lord of our life. Help us to truly make Jesus Lord of our lives. Jesus, be Lord. Be Lord. Be Lord, Jesus, of my life. Be Lord of my life. I thank you for it. I praise you for it. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I come now, and I stand here as a priest in the Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds. You have appointed me that place, an awesome place to stand. Father, I thank you that you've given me that privilege. And I stand here this afternoon. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I take authority and dominion over every foul spirit, demon power that would try to hinder in any way here this afternoon in the lives of every person present or every person who shall ever hear this tape. I take that place of authority. And I bind them to the day of judgment. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I bind the spirits to the day of judgment. And I ask for the angel of the Lord to come and take them and bind them up, those that are cast out and those that people are set free from this afternoon. I ask for the angel of the Lord to bind them and keep them until Jesus shall judge them at that day, great day of the judgment. I thank you for it, Father, and I praise you for it. Now, in the name of Jesus, I bind every spirit here this afternoon, and I take authority over them in the name of the Lord Jesus. I thank you for it, Father. Father, I apply and appropriate the blood of the Lord Jesus for cleansing and washing of every person here who will accept that this afternoon. I thank you for it, Father, for the blood of the Lord Jesus that cleanses and washes us from sin. I thank you that Jesus became our sacrifice so that we no longer have to offer the sacrifices of bulls and goats and lambs and turtle doves and others that the children of Israel had to as they looked forward to the coming of their Messiah, our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus. I thank you, Father, for Jesus, that he fulfilled all of those areas for us, that we no longer have to do that, but that he is our sacrifice. I thank you for it, Jesus. I praise you for it. Now I apply and I appropriate the blood of Calvary for to cover us and to wash us this afternoon. The blood of Calvary to cleanse and to wash the areas of our lives that have not been that which they should be before the throne of Calvary. Father, I thank you for it. I praise you for it. Help each one here to accept the blood of Jesus for cleansing and washing. Now, Father, I thank you that Jesus became a curse so that we don't have to bear the curse. And I come this afternoon and I take authority in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I say, it is written, Satan, that Jesus became my curse and became the curse of those of us that are here this afternoon and those of us that will hear this tape. Father, I thank you that Jesus became my curse. It is written, Satan and demons, in Galatians 3:13, that Jesus became our curse. And I apply and I appropriate that for our lives this afternoon. Now, Father, I come in the name of Jesus, and I put the blood of Jesus to cleanse and to wash the areas of every curse that's been visited down on our family lines. I appropriate the blood of the Lord Jesus in these areas in Jesus' name. I thank you for it. Now, Father, I come and take authority over the curses, and I break the ancestral curses of lust and abortion. I break the ancestral curses and those that we've been in. I break the ancestral curses, Father, of adultery and fornication. I break the ancestral curses of incest. I break the curses of Baal worship. I break the curses in Jesus' name. And I stand and take dominion in the name of the Lord Jesus and put the blood of Jesus to cleanse and to worship. And any of us that have been involved in any of these things, that the curse that we've gotten ourselves under will be broken. I break the curse of it in Jesus' name. I break the curse, Father, of bestiality. I break the curse of homosexual and lesbianism. I break the curse of it in Jesus' name.
I break the curse of having sexual relations during the time of the wife's ministerial period. I break that curse in Jesus' name. I loose us from it in the name of the Lord Jesus. I break the curse, Father, of not giving you the glory. I break the curse of not giving you the praise. I break the curse of not being the priest of the household. I break the curse of not giving you praise and glory, Father. I loose our family line from that curse. I break it from off our family. I loose us from it in Jesus' name. Father, I break the curse of not keeping vows that we've made. I loose us from that curse. Forgive us, Father, of making vows and then not keeping them. I break that curse from off of us so that we're not under a curse, but we have the blessings of Abraham. I thank you for it. Father, I break the curse of not paying our tithes. I break that curse of having holes in our pocket. I break the curse, Father, of poverty, the old man of poverty, the familiar spirit of poverty. I break the curse of it from off of our family heritage. I loose us from it in the name of Jesus. I break the curse. I put the blood to cleanse and to wash. And I bind this familiar spirit of poverty. I bind your power and break your assignment. I loose our households from the curse of poverty in Jesus' name. Father, forgive us for not giving you offerings and bringing a free will offering to the household of faith and to the house of the Lord. I break the curse of it in Jesus' name. You spirit of poverty, you spirit that has a right because we've not given an offering, Father, besides our tithes. I break that curse from off the family line in Jesus' name. I loose us from it in the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name. I loose us from the curse of a coward, of cowardliness. I loose that curse from us in Jesus' name, of being cowardly in Jesus' name. I break that curse for over us in Jesus' name. Father, I come against other curses that I have not called out here this afternoon. The curses of poverty, I have broken that. Now, Father, I come against the curses that we are under because of the sins that we have inherited that have allowed the curses of infirmity to come on our family lines. The spirits of infirmity, Father, and even the curses that are not written there, any of these curses, Father, I come against them in the name of the Lord Jesus, and I break their assignment over our family line in Jesus' name. Spirits of cancer, spirit of AIDS, spirit of sugar diabetes, spirit of heart problems, spirit of kidney problems, spirit of problems with the pancreas, problems with the liver, problems with the kidneys, with the gallbladder, problems with the bladder, problems in the intestinal tract, problems in the stomach area, problems in the lungs, problems in the lights, and in these areas, I come against the curses of familiar diseases in these areas, and I break the powers and dominion of Satan, and I put the scars and stripes and the blood of the whipping post to bring healing and deliverance to the physical body. I break the dominion of sin that has allowed curses of disease to come upon us, and I loose us from it in Jesus' name. Father, I come in the name of Jesus, and I take dominion over the familiar spirits of sickness and disease, and I bind them and I break their assignment in Jesus' name. A spirit of mental problems, I break the curse of mental problems. Alzheimer's disease, I break the curse of it in Jesus' name. Spirit of forgetfulness, I bind and break your assignment over us in Jesus' name. We will have a mind that will remember. I break the powers and dominion that Satan would have against us to cause distress in the families. I come against it in Jesus' name. Spirit of quarreling, the spirit of fighting and fault-finding. I come against you, spirit of fault-finding. I bind you and break your assignment to destroy God's families with fault-finding. I break your assignment in Jesus' name. I bind you. I speak restoration to our physical bodies, to our minds. By the scars and stripes and the blood of the whipping post, I speak to our bodies to bring restoration and healing. I speak to our eyes. I speak to our ears. I speak to our throats. I speak to these areas. I speak to the sinus trouble areas, just to troubles, sinus trouble. I bind these spirits and break their assignments over us, and I loose us from it in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for it. I praise you for it. I appropriate the word that it is written, Satan, that Jesus said he gives us authority in his name to lay hands on the sick and to set the captives free. And if they've committed any sins, they will be forgiven them. And that they will be healed as we lay hands on them and we bring healing and restoration in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, I thank you that you said that you give us authority, that it is written. And Satan, let it be known that Jesus Christ is Lord. And he said he give unto us authority in his name to apply and to appropriate his word and to set the captives free in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. There is no other name given under heaven whereby men may be saved except through the name of the Lord Jesus. There is no other name given under heaven whereby men may be healed or delivered except the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood to bring cleansing and deliverance. So, Father, this afternoon, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I take dominion and I bind every foul spirit. I bind them to the day of judgment. I command them to come out of these people in Jesus' name and to set them free. Okay, everybody, take a real deep breath. Take a deep breath. Real deep. Let it go. Come out in Jesus' name. Do it again. Real deep breath. Let it come out. All of you spirits, I bind you. I break your assignment. Come out of these people in Jesus' name. And I bind you to dead judgment. Loose them. Set them free. Come out in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. I praise you for it, Lord. I praise you for it. I thank you, Father, for deliverance and for restoration and healing in our physical bodies in Jesus' name. Praise you, Jesus. Now, what did they do when they came back from when the Lord sent them out? They came back to rehearse what the Lord had done. So you go rehearsing what God does for you. You testify to what Jesus has done and is doing for you. He said we are to be examples. We are to be, that our testimony is to be and we're to be a light that's set on a hill. And how's that go about our testimony? It's to be, that's a light. That's it. We overcome by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. That's it in Revelations. That's what I wanted. We overcome by the word of our testimony. So you're going to overcome by testifying that what the Lord has done for you and that by his blood he cleanses and by the blood of the Lamb. So Satan comes back and he says, nothing happened to you. You say, but it is written, Satan, that Jesus delivers me. And he comes back and torments you another way. And you come at him and say, but remember, Satan, over there at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, they prayed about that. And I was set free from it. Remember, Satan? It is written, Satan. It is written. It is written forever on that tape over there that you're set free from these areas this afternoon. So you stand in that and you tell Satan that when he comes back to tell you it's not so. Oh, he'll come around and say, and you feel bad. And you say, it's coming back. You're feeling bad. You unbelief, I bind you. Spirit of unbelief, I bind and break your assignment over these people. They will believe what God's done for them. I curse you, spirit of unbelief. I rebuke you over these people. Unbelief, go in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Okay, now, there's something you always need to do. So when you're having a deliverance service, you remember to do this. Now, it may be only just you and somebody else. You're still having a deliverance service, see? So when you get through, you want the Holy Ghost to fill every area so there's no place for the devil to come back to find a house that's swept and clean. It'll be full of the Holy Ghost. Okay? So that's what you want to always do. So let's stand up and raise our hands and thank the Lord and ask for the Holy Ghost to come in. Father, I thank you for what you've done this afternoon. I praise you for the teaching, Father. Thank you. Help us to receive and to understand. Give us a spirit of understanding. Then, Father, I thank you for the Holy Ghost to fill every area, Father, that's been vacated so there's no vacant house for anything to come back to. Father, I thank you for the Holy Ghost. I praise you for it to fill every area this afternoon. I thank you. Father, I praise you. I thank you for Jesus. Lord, I thank you. Father, I thank you. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your presence and for your anointing. I praise you for it today. Amen, 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 amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.